So what do we look like in Ohio today? These numbers are never up to date, but this is the best shot that I got as of 48 hours ago. We've got that many institutions, this is higher education, on those schools, and there's a large chunk of state here that's unaccounted for. But you can see the bulk of the institutions now sit in Blackboard. We've got one D12 school, that's Ohio State. We've had several institutions recently move from UCT Campus Edition to Angels. So now they're up around 7, 8, I think, as of this week. And then we've got a few others. We've got 3+ on Sakai that are in full production. And I say plus because there are several institutions that are doing thorough reviews and pilots of Sakai right now that are moving that direction. And we're seeing institutions move to Moodle as well. One of the most recent ones was Wittenberg University, was on Campus Edition. They were on Campus Edition 4. They asked the question, do we want to move to 6 or Vista? And their answer was, we're going to move to Moodle. So we're seeing a lot of movement in the state of Ohio, but I just want to give you a snapshot of what it looks like. What does it look like in K-12? Pre-K-12. Again, lots of Blackboard, a whole lot of Moodle activity going on. No Sakai activity as of yet, but there are a few other tools, ELGG, other systems like that. So what do we look like in K-12?
It's important to note that there's about 600-700 public school districts in the state of Ohio. So that's less than 10% total actually engaged in a CLE at this point.
And feel free to grab this.
Could we get the other live mic?
Yes, thank you.
We'll get Andrew mic'd up too.
What else has been going on? How many people in the audience are aware that the Ohio Learning Network has and why we're hosting at the University of Cincinnati? Okay, good. This is something that several years ago, this is back, started this in 2004. We again asked the question, many of you were part of that conversation, if there's so much Blackboard in the state, and everybody's using it, and equally with WebCT, this was pre-merger, we asked the question, why are we all running it ourselves? Couldn't we have central hosts? Couldn't we have some centralized professional development activities, some centralized integrated services, folks that ran this thing and do it more economically, and we could free up some of the IT resources on your campus? And so OLS said, we'll give that a shot. And so we set up WebCT Vista hosting at Kent State University. We set up Blackboard hosting in the academic suite at the University of Cincinnati with those partners. OLN doesn't host anything. We found partners out there that are good at doing this, and we partnered with them. At Kent State, we had two institutions hosted for 2 years. Those institutions have since gone back and are now hosting on their own, so we don't have any clients in the WebCT Vista platform today other than Kent. At the Blackboard environment, we've seen all kinds of growth. We started with 2, we now have 6. So we've got Cincinnati State, Columbus State, Edison State, Marion Technical, Ohio Wesleyan, Capital University are all hosted on Blackboard by the University of Cincinnati. Is it saving them money? Yeah, it's not saving them a ton of money. But the biggest thing that they like is that they no longer have to worry about running Blackboard. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we've been in this business for a while, and we have a model that says, yeah, you can have shared services, and yes, it can actually work, and yes, Ohio institutions can actually trust somebody else to take care of this learning management system that we all need, but we don't have to do it on our own campus. And so this is the model we still have. You all can still sign up if you'd like for either of those services, and we got a hosting fee, that's the commercial license fee. And we don't have that with Sakai or Uber, but there is a WebCT Blackboard. I'm sorry, license fee is the second one. Hosting fees, what you see are Kent charges for all of their services. There may or may not be some integration costs depending on what you want to do with data integration. And if you have to hire one of the vendors to come in and help you with that integration, that's extra. OLN, our contribution to this, in addition to some project management contract negotiation responsibilities, is we support it by covering half of their commercial license fee. Then they have a total cost. So we've been doing this since 2004, and it's been very successful. What else have we seen? We've seen a real growing interest in open source. I won't read through these again, the slides will be made available. These are a couple reports that talk about what's going on globally with open source. And the main point here is that open source is becoming, has for some time, becoming more accepted as a viable alternative to commercial systems. That's what these reports are starting to say. They're also saying that the clients that exist on Black or OCD and other commercial platforms are starting to look. How many of you in the room are in a review right now looking at what's, if you should move to another system? Okay, so that's over half of the group. This happens at most of our institutions every 3-4 years. So State of Ohio is always in flux. People are aware. Okay, just some more stats here. 2 or 3 CIOs are considering open source. 25% of institutions are implementing OS applications, not only CLEs, collaboration learning environments, but also other systems that are open source. I don't know if you've heard of Qali. This is another open source system that folks are looking at. And this is what's really interesting to me, is that 26%, so roughly a quarter, believe that OS applications present will be substantial on their campus in 3 years, but those that are already looking at it or rolled out open source, they're at half. So folks are moving toward open source. So OLN was in and continued to be involved with the WebCT and BlackBerry space. The bulk of the state is still on those tools. In higher, and I'm speaking about higher education. Over 90% of higher education institutions in the state of Ohio are either on a WebCT tool or a Blackboard tool. So a couple of years ago, people started asking OLN, well, it's great what you're doing with WebCT and Blackboard, but what are you doing with open source? We've heard about Sakai, we've heard about Moodle, we've heard about ELGG, we've heard about Bodington, and some of these other tools. And so we said, well, if that's what you'd like to see, we'll set up a pilot. And so for about 15, 16 months now, we've been operating what we call the OS pilot, the open source pilot. And the whole thing, end to end, is open source. We've got open source authentication, we're hosting Sakai, we're hosting Moodle, we're hosting the ePortfolio tools. It's all wrapped in uPortal. And we now have, we just passed the 50 mark. So we have 50 institutions in the state. 48 of those are higher ed institutions, and we've got a couple state agencies that are in there doing some testing as well. And they're testing Sakai, and they're looking at Moodle, because they're looking at alternatives. We've got two environments. How many are in the open source pilot? In here? Great. Those of you that aren't, it's available at no cost to OLM members. All you have to do is contact me. I will get you, your faculty, and your students in. Okay, so that brings us to today. I started off with what question did we ask? We asked the question, should we, could we, is it possible? What's the value of having a statewide open source hosting environment? And not just for higher ed.
We contacted our partners at eTech Ohio and said, what if we had a PK-20 system? Why not? They need collaboration and learning environments, need portfolios, just like higher ed does. Why are we running two separate systems if we can get together and look at that? So we're calling this the Open Learning Partnership. And here's what we're looking at. Providing Ohio's, and I should say PK-20 educational institutions with Sakai and ePortfolio hosting and services. It's not just hosting. Technical hosting is critical. It's got to be done well. Yeah, we're talking about having multiple sites in the third frontier network that are separated by a great distance. All the right technical hosting things. But that's only half of the equation. We're also going to talk about integrated services, things like professional development, migration services, branding services, et cetera. We'll get to that in a minute. But I want to emphasize that it's more than hosting. We anticipate the client's total cost will be significantly less than running a commercial CLE. As Chuck pointed out earlier, the costs of you running Sakai on your own campus or running a commercial CLE, you may not see a lot or any cost savings there. But at the state level, when we're talking about hosting hundreds of thousands of users, the cost savings are significant, not only when you're talking about vendor licenses, but also when you're talking about scaling professional development, administrative services, hosting, etc. Okay, so we anticipate, and I know that the question is going to come up today, so what is it going to cost my campus to be hosted on Sakai? We don't have that answer yet. We are working on that, and we will get that information to you as soon as we do, but we're not there yet. We'd like to offer a choice to the state. Again, the state is over 90% Blackboard right now. There hasn't been a lot of choice in the past. We're now down one choice because WebCT and Blackboard have merged. This is providing another option. We seek to leverage existing resources. Everybody's heard of the Third Frontier Network in the room. We've got fiber all over the state of Ohio. There's no reason we couldn't or shouldn't have redundant sites on fiber. This is, how many of you have a completely separate data operation backing up your CMS system over 100 miles away from your campus? Put your hands up. How many of you can afford to have that kind of infrastructure? Okay.
That's something that we're looking at here. We can leverage existing resources that ETech Ohio already has in place. Hardware, all the bandwidth, connectivity, etc.
We seek to build a critical mass of expertise. And not just with hosting and the applications, but with development capabilities, with professional development activities, with online training modules about how do I use this particular tool, create a flash-based element that we can contact the Sakai Foundation and say, where are the holes? Where are the gaps? Ohio will pick up X next year. Okay? And then grow K-20 partnerships. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Okay, so specifically, what are we talking about when we're talking about services? Obviously, we're looking at providing hosting. The idea that we've got right now, it's an idea at this stage, nothing has been built yet, and we want to bounce these ideas off you, and we want to leave really the rest of the time to hear from you and make these ideas better. And I'll stop talking soon, I promise. But we're going to do all the technical hosting. That's a no-brainer.
We've got the two directors of professional development here today from ETech Ohio and from the Ohio Learning Network, Elizabeth Walls. There she is back in the corner, and Cheryl Hansen. They're both standing up back there. So when we get to that part of the conversation, we'll mic them and let you throw questions at them, because we've got the best and the brightest thinking about this. We're talking about having user support. This is not something that we deployed when we rolled out WebCT to Blackboard hosting at UC and Kent State. The client said, we've got user support on campus, we'll do it on our home. We realize that there is not yet in the state of Ohio a critical mass of user support expertise, say maybe Walsh University and a few others who've done a great job of it. But statewide, you all don't have people on your campus that can do Sakai user support. We're looking at providing that service as well so that your students, your faculty can pick up a phone and say, I'm stuck. How do I do this?
Just like they would on your campus today with Blackboard or WebCT or whatever you're using. We're looking at providing bootstrapping services, as Andrew calls them, installation services, configuration services, branding services. You saw what Walsh made Sakai look like. It's got their logo, it's got their colors. We would provide all those services for you as well.
We are very interested in content migration. How do we help you get your content, courses, students, everything else out of the system you're in and into Sakai? What are all the steps that are needed for that? We're very interested in what's going on already with WebCT Campus Edition. That's a huge chunk in Ohio. 30 plus institutions in Ohio are on WebCT Campus Edition. So Sakai's already solved some of that. But more specifically, members of the Sakai community have already solved some of that. We've got a lot of people on other systems as well. So how do we solve those problems so we can make it easy for you to get in?
Integration services is huge. How can we help you with single sign-on? How can we help you with integrating your student information systems? You can do auto roster loading. These are all, I know none of this is new, and you have to struggle with these things daily, but we want to let you know we're thinking about this as well when we're talking about rolling out these services.
When Chuck was talking earlier, you saw how Sakai is diagrammed, how it's architected. It makes it very easy for us to tie into your LDAP system or Kerberos system, whatever it is that you're using, so that we can provide that access. We're already talking about how we use Shibboleth to pass authentication over the network. One of the things, those of you that are familiar with the way that OLM works, is that we're very big into the community. And we don't want to just put up the hosting and provide the services. We're also very interested in wrapping a community around this. So a lot of you are already in the open source pilot. You know that we meet online once a month and we talk about new features that we want. We've got listservs around us. We have meetings. We've got face-to-face professional development activities where we get together. And so one of the things that we can do is that we can be stronger together in this effort than we can separate. And this is, I know it's low on this screen, and you can see it over here. This is what's really
you have to code the way that they're telling you to code. You have to follow their standards. With Sakai, we're talking about not only certainly opening up development to everybody in the state, there's nothing that we can do to stop them anyway, but we'll encourage that and foster that activity. We're also looking at having some development capabilities in-house as part of this project. So again, asking the big what-if questions, what if there were 10 institutions in the state of Ohio, a mix of K-12 and higher ed institutions, that started off, say this fall, early next year, and we were a Sakai block in the state of Ohio, and we said, we have a need. We want to change one of the tools. We contact Chuck and the Sakai Foundation, and we say, Chuck, is anybody else in the world doing this? Is this needed by other people? And Chuck would put us in contact with those right folks. And we may identify something that we'd like to build, and then the word goes out, and we follow the steps that he laid out this morning, and we start to modify software that we're using to support teaching and learning to meet our needs. That's something we don't do today, something we can't do today, and some of the proprietary systems that we're in. To me, this is one of the more exciting features of what we're talking about. This slide, what I mean to show you is that we're looking at not only production hosting, but we're looking at merging what we currently have in the open source pilot with the production environment. So today in the open source pilot, we've got really two spaces. We've got a sandbox space. That's where I'm at one of Chuck's conferences, and I see somebody from Spain who has just developed a new module. It's not part of Sakai yet, but they've released the code. They've open sourced it. It's out there. I can come back to the sandbox, and I can deploy that in the sandbox to the test environment, and we can try it, and we can test it. It's open source. We can code. We can make it better, we contribute back. So we're looking at having that kind of environment and then rolling it into a pilot environment where not only we are doing more substantial testing, maybe run a class in there, but this is a space where other institutions in the state of Ohio, PK20, doesn't matter who you are, can come in and they're not a client, they're not in the production space, but they want to come in and kick the tires, they want to try it out, they want to run one course in Sakai. And this is a space for them to do that. And then the question is, out of these pilots, these new tools that we're rolling through, what do we want to move into production? Sakai has its own process for this, but in Ohio we may say, well, boy, this new tool that just made it through Sakai, we really want to expose that because it's a fantastic tool we've got. Okay. And then what we have over time down here is this purple area. We continue to have a buffet of educational technologies that continues to grow. And we've got these services wrapped around it so that you as an institution can come in and say, I'd like Sakai, I'd like to use ePortfolios, I'd like to use the open source, say version of Illuminate or something like that, a live classroom tool, or I don't want those. Maybe you're very happy with Blackboard, and all you want is an ePortfolio piece. And so that you can come in and choose what it is that you need.